Welcome to the Metabolic MD. Health means everything. We all seek optimal health, but most of us do not know how to achieve it. Dr. Paul Kaladze has spent a career in the emergency department. Now, he helps his patients avoid ever ending up there. During these podcasts, you'll learn how you can lose weight and prevent and reverse disease through new technology, a modified diet, and the use of some new recently approved FDA medications. This information is not meant to be medical advice. Please seek consultation from your own medical provider. Let's listen in.
Hey everybody, this is Terry O'Brien. I'm the producer of the Metabolic MD with Dr. Paul Kaladze. We are here today with Dr. Paul Kaladze and one of his patients, Gene. Say hello, Gene.
Good morning.
Dr. Paul, say hi.
How's everybody doing?
All right, everybody's doing great. I got good audio. That's why I was checking that. So before I kind of pass it over to Dr. Paul and Gene to have a conversation about her weight loss journey, I want to remind folks that if you're in the Dayton, Ohio area, on April 4th, Dr. Paul is going to be in person talking about his book, The Glucose Monitor Revolution and Continuous Glucose Monitor Revolution. And that will be at the Centerville Woodburn Library, and that'll be at 7 o'clock. It's open, it's free. Come enjoy to hear Dr. Paul in person, and everybody's welcome. So with that, I'm going to remove myself from the video screen and let Dr. Paul and Gene have a conversation. So you guys ready?
Sure.
Ready.
Here we go.
Gene, so again, thank you very much for joining us. And for the audience, Gene is one of my star patients that's just done great over the course of her program with a focus on really a low-carb lifestyle. And so we're going to go ahead and explore her journey, talk about some of the milestones she's reached and get her personal insights into how this has gone. So, Gene, let's start by just talking about, you know, how you found us, because I think you were referred by a friend, if I remember correctly, and what your thoughts were as we first got started with the program.
So, correct. A good friend had signed up a couple weeks before I did, and we were just at a dinner party, and she mentioned what she was doing, and I said, wow, that's something I haven't tried, and have tried a lot of things. And so I think that's just how it started. And I made the contact that Monday. And I think we did the 2-week trial with the monitor to see what my just sort of what normal day looked like at that point. And then I started the diet 2 weeks after.
All right. Okay. So you're describing really a trial period where we put a continuous glucose monitor on people and tell them just to eat their normal diet so they can kind of get a handle on their blood glucose patterns. And then we use that as a basis for then determining the way to approach their program with low-carb diet, intermittent fasting, and strength training. Gene, can you tell us a little bit about what led you to seek health? Maybe give us a little bit of your long-term weight, and if you don't mind, a little bit of your health history and why you were looking to make a change.
Sure. I was carrying more weight than I ever had. I don't blame things on situations, but COVID really, really, I just gained a lot of weight, and, I was sore all the time, and I had terrible headaches, and I just didn't feel good. And so, I've always been a person that probably carried, after children, 10 to 15 pounds extra, but never 40 pounds extra. So, and I tried different things and they weren't successful. And then that's what, you know, some of us do. We just say, well, forget it. I can address this later. And then some of my blood work had come back that I was pre-diabetic. And so it just, I think the great conversation with a good friend and hearing this different kind of approach, in addition to knowing what my current labs were, I was like, this is your opportunity. And I also have a big life event, a family member wedding that I'll be very honest. I did not want to be the size I was for that wedding.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to mention that your fairly typical of a lot of the patients I see. The majority of my patients are women, and it's because I think women at times have more insight into their health risks as opposed to men. And men a lot of times will just, you know, want to bury our head in the sand until there's some crisis, which is kind of how I came through to my metabolic health practice, seeing, you know, a lot of those crises in the emergency department. But Jean is in a tough category. Postmenopausal women just have difficulty losing weight because of the hormonal changes. So it really takes kind of a focused approach. And so I see a lot of patients that are kind of in Jean's category. So you actually had a couple things going on. You had weight. And can I mention your original
sure.
weight? I mean, I think you were around 240 when you got there,
correct.
Right? And I think you're now pretty close to 200. Is that right? Or less?
2 pounds less, 198.
Okay. So that's really a great milestone. So congratulations on that. And I'm going to mention that Jean has done this journey without the help of medication. So, you know, the medications, the GLP-1 medications, Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound have been all the rage over the course of the last couple years. But Jean has decided really that she did not want to do that, that she wanted to roll up her sleeves and do this on her own. And we're going to talk about the approach we took for her to have such great success. And I also have a lot of patients that come to me and, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to talk about the medications. They don't want to create, which is a risk, lifelong dependency on these new GLP-1 medications or deal with the side effects or, you know, cost is issue. But for whatever reason, I think having this foundation and lifestyle change is very important. And quite honestly, I'm going to mention, even for people that decide to use the medication, you know, unless you're just going to take a medication and create lifelong dependence on medication, then you got to be doing the things that Jean has done and many of my other patients have done to go ahead and achieve success. Just to review, Jean, so you had increased weight, you had mildly elevated hemoglobin A1C. I looked back at your notes, you had a fasting blood sugar of 106. So these put you in the pre-diabetic range. And, pre-diabetes is an emergency as far as I from my perspective, because now is the time to stop the pre-diabetes so you can prevent ever progressing to diabetes. So we did this initial assessment, and then we talked about dietary changes. And let's start by talking about the low-carb approach, Jean, that we take. And is that something that you had done previously, or, how did you feel about that when we got you started on that?
I would say probably 20 years ago when the whole Atkins, if I'm correct with timing, I was familiar with Atkins. And so I remember that being a lower carb, you know, you could have like under 30 carbs. So I had counted carbs previously and on a past journey. And I think it was pretty successful. So right after I had my second son. So, but this was not, I mean, I'm a meat eater. I would say that's probably one of the only things that might be a challenge for someone, but I love chicken and beef and fish and seafood. I'm very fortunate. I don't have any dietary restrictions or things that don't agree with me or allergies.
So Jean came in after her 2-week trial doing the initial assessment, fasting insulin level, other routine labs. Then we put a program together for Jean. And that program, as I mentioned, started with a low carb diet. And this sounds a little bit strange coming from a doc, but basically what we do is we suggest, Jean, you got to limit your carbs to this amount. And then we want to make sure you're getting adequate protein because strength training is a component of the program that we'll talk about. And we aren't going to really worry about your fat too much for right now. We're just going to, and we aren't going to focus on calories. I don't think we've ever focused on calories, right? Mm-hmm. So again, there is this insulin resistance model, which I feel is the most effective model for weight loss and improved metabolic health. And then there is the calories in, calories out model, where you starve yourself for the rest of your life, which I don't think works. The great thing about a low-carb diet is you can always eat something, no matter what. You can always eat something. So do you remember where we targeted your carbs and your protein?
I think in the beginning it was under 50.
Yeah.
And we split it down a couple months into it.
Right. And then protein was about how much?
100 grams. Yeah.
So again, we didn't focus on fat. We did focus on making sure that Gene was counting those macros. And I think you worked with our health coach using the app so that you became familiar with the app that we use to help you count your macros. And you've done a great job long-term doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
So the app is called Chronometer. And it really helps you. It's not where you're logging in how many grams of things you weighed. It even has, you know, Trader Joe's items, grocery items from your bigger box grocers. And you just put in how many you ate. And then it calculates and it keeps you so honest. And what I like about it is, it, you know, at 3 o'clock when, you know, the demons come and say, oh, what can I get? And you start opening the fridge, you know exactly where you're at. And I try to save 10 carbs for dinner. And so if I'm already at 15 and I'm trying to stay between 20 and 30, then yeah, go and have a couple cheese sticks or have a couple pieces of salami that it's going to get you up to maybe 4 or 5 added to your normal, you know, what to stay in your range. The app really helps because it keeps you honest and you're interacting. I mean, I don't know. It feels like, well, I'm proud of myself. Look what I had today. So that works for my personality.
Yeah. You can quantify your success. And then we have our health coach, Rhett Clark, that I think has worked with you, you know, initially talking with you at least a couple times a month. Kind of reviewing that data with you, and then also talking about your workout plan, which we'll get to. Right. So basically, low carb, high protein, don't worry about fat. We do talk a little bit about good fats and bad fats. We don't completely ignore this, but I always find this striking, and I don't have all the exact numbers here. But Gene, of course, has been put on a low carb, high fat diet. And during that period of time when she's eating more fat, I believe your cholesterol level has come down a little bit, right?
It has. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is part of the cholesterol myth in this country. Mm-hmm. So her cholesterol has come down and her triglycerides have come down. So, you know, there is this concern on a low carb diet that you're eating higher fat and it's going to cause, you know, increased cholesterol and inflammation. I don't see that in my patients. You know, I think that we have way too much focus on cholesterol in this country and not enough focus on insulin resistance. And I think Jean is an example of that. And those numbers have continued to stay low for her. So she's been able to follow this higher fat diet without that concern. And then we talked about intermittent fasting. Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about where you started with intermittent fasting, where you are and how that has gone?
Sure. So I think that was a little daunting when we added, you know, like thinking about, I think you told me if I could do 5 out of the 7 days where I didn't eat till noon. Just keeping 16 hours. Is that my right number?
Yeah,
without food? So I did start that and it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. So I currently try not to eat before 12:30, 6 days a week. And yeah. I'm a tea drinker. So I, when I feel like, oh, at 11 o'clock, oh, I'm a little bit anxious. I feel like I'm hungry. I have little tricks that I'll even heat up hot water, not even have more tea because I might be too jittery, but, it really isn't hard. I mean,
Wait. You've done a great job in that regard. And it's not like you got to go to 16 hours, you know, overnight. It's like, If you haven't fasted before, let's try 10 or 12 hours overnight. Right. And then we'll just gradually extend that. And it doesn't have to be every day. You know, special occasions, family weddings, for example, in your case, but in general, the two things that are effective in lowering insulin resistance, and when you lower your insulin resistance, you burn fat instead of blood glucose. Your blood glucose is lower, and so you're burning fat, and that's what's helping you lose weight. And the two most effective approaches to that are what we've just talked about. It's a low-carb diet, and it's intermittent fasting. And Gene has done a great job. And let's talk about the lifestyle change. I mean, once you've got a CGM on and how your CGM guided this journey, I think once you have a CGM on and you see some of those spikes, it can be life-changing. You realize what's going on with your blood glucose physiology. And then it's not like you have to follow this diet. It's like you've made this lifestyle change that you don't have to think that much about. Can you comment on the lifestyle change and the CGM's value related to that?
So, yeah, I mean, you make different choices for food. I mean, I was always a person that enjoyed breakfast bars, you know, something easy to grab and start your day. And that was a big, you know, I didn't need that anymore. And when you wear the monitor, it is just like a little big brother. It's just a little whisper in your ear that says, you know, if you put 17 carbs for half of a pine bar in your mouth, then you're going to see that spike up. And then you explained to me that when those 2 weeks were the trial weeks and I was wearing the monitor, it was so interesting about the graph that is on your phone, the readout, and how the glucose would stay up there for a couple hours. The higher levels. And now if I have, I mean, like say half a baked potato and I've allotted for it and I see the spike, but it comes right down and it lets you know my body's working. I'm releasing that insulin to take care of that starch. And I enjoy kind of figuring it out and the mechanics of the science of it. And it's just another way to keep you on track and let you know that what you're doing is working. Because I remember for those trial weeks and even the first maybe month or so of the diet, those levels still stayed up if I would have something that took a little bit longer for the insulin. And now it's just so refreshing, you know, my body's taking care of that food and dispensing it. So did I answer what you were asking?
Yeah. So basically when she did the trial, she had, peaks and valleys in her blood sugar level. So a continuous glucose monitor, you know, graphs over a period of the day, exactly what is going on with your blood sugar. So you have these spikes and then drops if you're eating, you know, an increased amount of carbs. And that's because, you know, carbs become blood glucose in your system immediately. Your blood glucose spikes, your insulin chases that. So your insulin tries to bring it down. And you can end up with these up and down valleys that zap your energy and sometimes your mental clarity. So Gene has gone from this up and down pattern to a stable lower pattern. And that is what has helped her with her weight loss and also improving her numbers. And I just looked a little bit at your numbers because it's not all about weight loss. It's about metabolic health, you know, and longevity as well. Gene dropped her fasting blood sugar from 106 pre-diabetic range to 93. Fasting insulin level, I think, is important as a cholesterol. She dropped from 9.7 to 5.1. So that's really a significant change indicating that she has reversed her insulin resistance. And then that in the context of her lipid profile, her cholesterol levels, LDL levels, et cetera, improving as well. And then the third component of the stool is strength training, because strength training decreases insulin resistance as well. And it does that because if you increase your muscle mass, you increase the quality and receptivity of the insulin receptors on your muscles, and that will help soak up more insulin, more blood glucose as well, you know, lower your insulin resistance and help you burn fat. And if I remember correctly, Gene, you were actually doing pretty well on your strength training before you came to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, my husband and I go to the gym twice a week with a trainer, and I just really have always all my life enjoyed working out with weights and getting your heart rate up. And then we're big walkers. So I would say I probably increased one more day. So I'd go to the gym, and then we invested in our own little hand weights at home. And so when the diet started, I think I added maybe a couple months in, just one more day. But I wouldn't want to give anybody the impression that I've become a gym rat. I'm just being honest. I'm not. We go for an hour twice a week and all the other stuff during the week, and maybe another day that I spend about a half an hour on hand weights and some floor stuff. So I just don't want to give the impression that I'm a workout crazy person, because I'm not.
Can you speak to just your general feeling in terms of maybe aches and pains, energy levels, mm-hmm. et cetera? Because bringing down blood sugar not only helps with the weight loss issue, it helps with inflammation. Just like your blood vessels get inflamed by high blood sugar, that leads to the problems that diabetics have with kidney problems and strokes, heart attacks, peripheral vascular disease. It also inflames your musculoskeletal system. And I think you've had some improvement as well in just aches and pains. Is that right?
So I have suffered with migraines since the birth of my children, and it was always seasonal, and very commonly usually seasonal. And I have to say, I've maybe had two headaches since I started the diet. And when it's a headache, if anybody has suffered migraines before, I mean, you go to bed. It's not like you can put on a load of wash or anything. So that hasn't happened. And a couple times I've had headaches, I can get on top of it with some medication, Tylenol or Motrin. That's significantly better. I mean, and then I ached, my joints ached. And, you know, I thought, well, we have arthritis in our family. You got to keep moving. You can't give in to not feeling like you want to walk up that hill that day. But I am so much less achy. I mean, we often joke, we get out of bed because we can't lay there anymore because it hurts. That doesn't happen anymore. I mean, I am so much less inflamed. And I didn't think about it being about food. I thought about it as the extra weight and then just maybe what I was predisposed to. But I think that's a myth. I think it is about the lower sugar.
Yeah. So just like glucose molecules attached to your hemoglobin molecules, that's what gives you a hemoglobin A1C, or attached to your blood vessel linings to cause inflammation. Glucose attaches to your cartilage and causes inflammation and discussions as well. So, basically for you, migraine, headaches, a lot of my patients, I don't know, you know, generally seem to have an increased energy level. When you get rid of this variation in blood glucose, sometimes that can help with mental clarity. And I'm not talking about, there's this miracle of increased mental clarity, though I will tell you that high blood sugar is definitively associated with progression to dementia in older people. Mm-hmm. But when you decrease this variability and when you decrease that brain inflammation, a lot of people do think that they don't have the brain fog that they had previously.
And I agree with that. I mean, you know, all those the things that came out after COVID and people feeling foggy. And I did have COVID before the vaccine. I was just sort of attributing it to, oh, well, that's the latest thing that happens to you. And I would say I am clearer, and I don't go to bed as early as I did.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. So Gene, again, has pursued this program and been very successful, just focusing on diet, intermittent fasting, and strength training. You know, we hopefully have provided her a lot of support along the way between her monthly visits with me and then working with Rhett, our health coach. But I'm going to mention also that when I have a number of patients that do this program in this manner. In fact, the majority of my patients do this And before the GLP-1 medications came out, that was the only approach. Now I do have some patients that want to use the medicine, and we integrate the GLP-1s into that. But the approach there is lower doses for limited periods of time with the theme of begin with the end in mind. And what that means is I'm not going to create lifelong dependency of medication for patients. You need to make the lifestyle changes that Gene has made here as well. And then those carry forward to avoid the problems associated with those medications, which are primarily weight regain when you come off the medications. When you have the lifestyle changes in place, that's not going to happen. And then also the loss of muscle mass on these medications, because when we're losing weight on medications, you're losing muscle mass. So you got to do what Gene has done, which is you got to be strength training, absolutely critical for anybody on medications. So Gene, I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your journey with us and, you know, your success in beginning this new lifestyle, which I think, you know, tell me, it's like you'll never go back, right? I mean, it's not even a consideration, and it's not a lot of work to stay the course once you get to where you've been, correct?
Correct. And it's not hard. It's not hard. I mean, it's easy, and it's not worth it. You know, you find the things that are worth it, you know, and then when you see the results, it's just another reinforcement that you're doing the right thing.
Well, I want to congratulate you, you know, on your success. I know we need to wrap up here, Terry. I'll go ahead and let you go ahead and mention the book and the medical practice, as I know you will plug for me, Terry.
Shameless plug of the book. That's right. Yeah. That's my job.
And I, Gene, I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your journey with this audience.
Can I say one thing about the book?
Yeah.
So I got the book, because I think that's cool that you know somebody who wrote a book and it was topical. And the book is really fun to read because you can skip around. And when you are further in your journey, certain things make sense later. And it's a reference book. I mean, it's easy to read, but I mean, I know exactly where it is in my house. And I go to it every once in a while.
Thanks for those kind words.
Sure.
Gene, thank you. You were a delight. Your conversation with Dr. Paul was fascinating. I loved every bit of it. So I'm going to remove you real quick from the screen so we can kind of do a wrap up.
Thanks again, Gene.
All right, Dr. Paul. So you're going to be again in person at the Woodburn Library on April 4th in Centerville, Ohio. So if those folks listening out there are close to Centerville, come on in. The room holds probably 50, 60 people. I'm talking to the library staff last night. They're getting all kinds of calls already. So I would expect a decent crowd for this thing. Let's talk about your practice, because many people don't realize that you're licensed in Ohio, which means you can talk to anybody in Ohio. You could talk to anybody in Arizona, anybody in Indiana, and then Florida. So you're licensed in those areas, which means you can talk to them, prescribe things to them, and offer medical advice, correct?
Yeah, we can prescribe CGMs, we can prescribe medicine, we can order labs for people. And Jean is an example. Jean lives in Dayton. I think she came in for maybe one in-office or maybe two in-office visits. But telemedicine since COVID is the way to go. And it's very convenient for people, and it removes the geographic barriers. So, yeah, so I treat lots of patients in all four of those states. And for this type of practice, you know, if you're a surgeon or you're in the emergency department or you're a dermatologist, maybe telemedicine doesn't work quite as well. But for this kind of practice, which is numbers focused and guidance focused, it works exceptionally well and very convenient for everybody.
Well, okay, at that point, we're going to wrap this up. Again, check out Dr. Paul's book, Dr. Paul Kolodzic's book, The Continuous Glucose Monitor, Continuous Weight Loss.
Continuous Glucose Monitor Revolution for Diabetics on Amazon.
And it's actually the best-selling book about glucose monitors out there, correct?
That's true.
Okay. And then if you're in the Dayton or those areas, you're welcome to reach out to Dr. Paul. And he'll talk to anybody. Just reach out to him anywhere, no matter where you're at. So that's it. We're going to close out this podcast. We thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you again on the next Metabolic MD podcast with Dr. Paul Kolazic. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry.